Hello, Dick. How are you?
Doing great. I'm on Hollywood Boulevard. I was just walking on the stars. I've got a little break in my interviews today for Pac-12 Football Media Day. So I just stood on Mariah Carey's star a moment ago. I'm down here in sunny L.A.
I was going to say, you're unveiling one of your own.
Yeah, no, I'm a long way from that, boys.
Is it back to normal in L.A., mate? Everyone getting out and about?
Yeah, I mean, they've put out a new mask ordinance, so now you have to wear masks in all indoor public spaces, and that's kind of happening in a lot of the West Coast major cities. But, you know, for the most part, pretty heavily vaccinated on the West Coast here, but that variant's kind of messing around with people, so they're putting extra precautions in, but we don't have any lockdowns or anything.
Now, the game's naturally a big talking point, and I can only imagine a lot of commentary around Simone Biles. Is she just about the top of the draw cards as far as the individual athletes are concerned from the States heading to Tokyo?
Yeah, absolutely. And just, boy, really, how do you react to this? I mean, I guess the knee-jerk reaction to Simone Biles pulling out of the team event, the knee-jerk reaction is, come on, how could you do that to your teammates? But then, you read a little bit more into the situation, and she felt like the team was better off without her. And it may have been better off without her if she wasn't, in a mental state to put together her best performance. And it's not like Team USA was all Simone Biles and the rest of the girls weren't any good. I mean, that's not the case at all. I mean, it was a very, very strong team. Unfortunately, they didn't win the gold in the team event, but we will see if Simone Biles decides to do the individual events, and they could still have a very successful meet in this Olympics.
Dick, what was the reaction to the 400 free, the women's 400 free, with Titmus knocking off Katie Ledecky?
That was a spectacular race, guys. And, it was great because I kind of finally get to put on my swim coach hat again. I did back in the 90s and 2000s, and I just really felt, I knew Katie was in trouble. You could just see Titmus coming on. She looked smoother. She looked more relaxed, and it almost seemed like Katie was fighting the water a little bit. And almost over-trying, where Titmus just looked so smooth the entire time. And I'm sitting there watching it with my family. And even before Katie lost her lead, I was just like, uh-oh, this doesn't look right. This does not look like she can hold her off, and she wasn't able to. And just a fantastic moment for Australia, and obviously, the great moment of her coach going nuts. I mean, that got a great chuckle out of my whole family, and it kind of went viral here in the States too. I don't think there's a lot of people that follow sports on Twitter that didn't see his reaction. He looked like one of those big time wrestlers, as they're getting set for a match.
Do you think she can turn the tables on Ariana Titmus in the 200 free?
I think, yeah, I think so. I mean, she is she's a distance swimmer. She is certainly not what she once was. I don't think there's any question about that at all. But let's face it, Katie Ledecky swam the second fastest race. The only time the Titmus lost to was Ledecky's old time, and Ledecky's time here was the third best ever. So, I mean, it's not like Katie has fallen far off, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, that's going to be as intriguing as any event in the Olympics, particularly now since we have the buildup. And we had a great race last night as well. I mean, the 100 breast was fantastic last night, where you've got the 17-year-old Lydia from Alaska, a place where, guys, they have one. Think about this. Think about how many long course 50-meter pools you have in Sydney alone. They have one in the state of Alaska. Able to win the gold medal out of a state that does not swim very much and has one 50-meter pool in the entire state. That was a pretty incredible race there, a three-person race. And, Lily King gets replaced by a 17-year-old American as the best breaststroker in the world.
Yeah, unbelievable, Dick. What about the basketball, mate? Can USA still win gold?
Yes, they can still win gold. But, guys, I'm wondering what the want-to is of these guys. And I understand, about, say, a week ago or so, I had one of the coaches on that he wasn't coaching the team, but he was calling the games for radio, and he was just talking a lot about, I think I may have even mentioned it to you, talking about the lack of preparation, the lack of practice. But that's only an excuse so long. I mean, at some point, you've got to put it all together. Now you've got the new guys coming in, you know, the Drew Holiday and Devin Booker, and they're, you know, being added to the team. So it's a constantly evolving basketball team. But talent only works when you can put it together as a unit. And, you know, I've known as a coach many times in high school, I've had less talented teams that have actually had better seasons than my most talented team. Because if you can't get that talent working together and you don't know who the number one option is, and it becomes problematic. So right now, there's not a lot of, even though the Americans are still favored, there's not a lot of hope around here. I mean, it's like, I think most of America has kind of just been like, whatever, man. I mean, you guys are kicking us off so bad. If you win gold, fine. If you don't, you know, it's, you know, we've kind of turned you off. So I'd like to see them go on a little bit of a run. So at least, you know, Americans can, you know, take some pride in the showing and maybe get into the medal round and do some damage.
Now, it was only in the last couple of days, Dick, I realised that 3-on-3 basketball is actually an Olympic sport. Unbelievable. This isn't going to take off, surely.
Yeah, you know, we had a player from the Storm, Katie Lusamis, playing on the 3-on-3 team. She got COVID, even though she was fully vaccinated, so she was not able to compete. She's been replaced. We also have a University of Washington point guard, Kelsey Plum, who's been a fantastic point guard for the 3-on-3 team. So I think it's building some momentum, I think. And we have some 3-on-3 leagues here that actually are on national television. A friend of mine that used to play in the NBA, Spencer Hawes, he's playing on one of those 3-on-3 teams, and they get coverage on CBS on Sundays. So it'll be interesting to see where 3-on-3 basketball goes on the national and the international scene over the next 10 years or so. But I think it's definitely a growing sport.
Have we finally found out what Aaron Rodgers is going to do?
Yeah, we did. We did. You know, I guess he got what he wanted. He got a potential early exit out of Green Bay. The Packers got what they wanted. They got their quarterback back for at least one more year before they have to, you know, think about trading him. So it's going to be kind of a wait and see situation on how well this team clicked, because it's basically Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, two of the most spectacular offensive players in the league, kind of on a prove it to me situation. So they need to show that they're still at the elite level, and the Packers need to show that they've built a team good enough around them to get them back to the Super Bowl. I think if Green Bay can get past that hurdle, which they have not been able to recently, and really Aaron Rodgers has only gotten past it once, of getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, if they lose again in the NFC Championship game or less, then I think there's a serious problem. There's a serious problem there, and I think that they're probably going to see the last of Aaron Rodgers this year. But if you take a look at getting all the way to the Super Bowl, I think that may fix a lot of the problem.
It's amazing with these quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going back to Green Bay, as you said. Deshaun Watson, he's heading back to Houston as well, pending all those lawsuits against him. And Russell Wilson, it was earlier, you know, they sorted that out there in Seattle as well. So after all the chat and the speculation, it looks like the quarterbacks, the major ones, are going nowhere.
It does. It really does. I mean, Deshaun Watson is still the only one that has potential there, but you know, cooler heads are prevailing, I guess. The Russell Wilson situation, as we've talked about many times, really was never to the extent of either Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers. But it's not to say that a bad season in Seattle wouldn't cause some consternation and potential trade rumors being thrown out after this year. You know, well, the rumors will certainly be there. And if the Seahawks only win, you know, 9-10 games this year and lose in the first round of the playoffs, or heaven forbid, don't make the playoffs, you will definitely hear the rumors again next year. There's no question about that.
I don't think we asked you about the Milwaukee Bucks, Dick, finally winning their first ring after 50 years.
Yeah, I think we spoke last week on the day of game number six, and you know, it was just tough for me to tell which way that series was going to go. Milwaukee had certainly wrestled the momentum away from Phoenix, but man, guys, I had a hard time believing that the Phoenix Suns were going to look as dominant as they did all through the playoffs. I mean, they were the most dominant team in the playoffs without question up until game three of the finals. I mean, they were just dispatching of people. And then to lose four games in a row is really remarkable. But the thing that I loved about this finals is that a true superstar has been born. Giannis has gone from, you know, a superstar in talent to a superstar in stature. He is now truly a superstar with a championship ring. Everybody loves him. I don't know how you can not like Giannis Antetokounmpo, either on the floor or off the floor. And he did it with some moments that we will never forget. We will never forget his block of DeAndre Ayton at the rim. We will never forget the rip of Jrue Holiday where he's going down the floor and had the, you know, had the gumption to throw it up to Giannis for an alley-oop when they really needed the bucket with, you know, less than 10 seconds left to play. Just two remarkable plays that we'll be seeing in highlight films for 20, 30-plus years.
Yeah, 50 points in a championship-clinching game. That is legendary. No doubt about that, isn't it, Dick? Great to talk to you as always, mate. And, I don't know, head down to Malibu, get yourself a cocktail or something.
There you go. Sounds good. I'm off in about, I don't know, about 5 hours, and then the cocktails will be flowing on the way back to the airport.
Good on you, mate. Thank you.